All right, good morning, everybody. Let's get started. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. All right, we are. It's sort of continuing the thought from 5. Paul is. He's going to deal with a little different subject, but he's going to bring it back around to what he was talking about. But what you've learned so far, what you've read so far in Corinthians about carnality in a congregation, it leads to personality cults. It leads to accepting things that aren't acceptable, and then patting yourself on the back for being accepting. It leads to very poor judgment. And in this chapter, I think it is this chapter, yeah. This chapter, he says, know ye not, I think, 6 times, know ye not, which is like, don't you understand? Don't you understand? This is not rocket science. This is just, don't you get it? 1 Corinthians 6, so this is about very poor judgment. Verse 1, let's start. We won't read the whole chapter right now, but maybe the first 3 verses here. He says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? It's so wild. People love the judge the world and the judge the angels part of this and the prophecy, just the big picture stuff. And sometimes the same people can't figure out judgments between themselves and between a church. And so this is Paul's just magnifying this. Look, you're a part of this judgment, and surely you are able to make simple judgments in this life. Surely. And yeah, sometimes they're a little more difficult, but surely you understand the way you look to the outside world when you're bringing each other to court and you're fighting each other, and at the same time proclaiming Jesus is Lord and Jesus is the God of this congregation and stuff like that. And so the frustration continues with Paul. But let's pray, and we're going to deal with this aspect of carnality, which is just, it's very poor judgment, very short-sighted judgment. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. I do pray that you'd help us through this, help us make the applications that need to be made. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for your words. Really, I do pray that you'd guide us through this and help us learn the Bible. That's what we need. We need to learn what you said, because what you said is what's important, not what we think about what you said or how we divide or interpret what you said, but what you said, that's what's important. And we believe this is your words, and so I pray that you'd help us through this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so he deals with judgment among the saints, and apparently they're taking each other to court in some cases. Maybe it's marriage, divorce things, I don't know. Maybe there's other matters involved. property matters or who knows. But the point is, these things were supposed to be settled in the congregation. And they're supposed to be figured out among Christians, people professing Christianity. And so when Christians start acting out in the public view against each other, the credibility of the congregation just dissolves, and worse off, it's not just the credibility of the congregation, it's the credibility of Jesus Christ, it's the credibility of what you say you believe. And so when you make these problems public knowledge and seek, for instance, the Corinthians, they're out here seeking judgment from lost people on matters that they're supposed to understand the judgment of. They're supposed to have discernment. They're supposed to have, again, you go back to the, you have light from God, and then all of a sudden you run back to the darkness to seek counsel and to figure out how to distinguish and discern a matter. So carnality leads to this. This is one of the things it leads to. And they've been given the judgments of God. If you have the words of God, you've been given the judgments of God, the discernment of the Spirit of God, yet you don't have enough sense to make good judgments. And that's Paul's frustration with the Corinthian church. They've gone from personality cults, you know, we love this guy, and we follow this guy, and you follow that guy, so you're not as spiritual as us because we follow this guy. And they've gone from that to fornication and bad fornication. And he says, such that the Gentiles just don't even talk about it. And your standards have become lower than the world's standards. And then you're patting yourself on the back because of that. And now he's dealing with fighting in the church. And just, it's such a mess. So first three verses, Paul gives a very big picture of the future of God's people. And he says, look, you're going to be responsible to judge the world. You will be a part of that. You're going to be a part of the judgment of angels. I mean, this is a big stuff. This is just massive ideas and things like that. And so how in the world, if you've been given judgment, if you've been given light from the Lord, you've been given revelation, and your future is to judge these things, how in the world are you getting messed up on such simple stuff? Say, well, it's not that simple. Things that make judgment complicated are just a couple things. Number one, family makes judgment complicated. It makes judgment very complicated. And the truth is the truth. And so that's one thing that makes it very complicated. Another thing that makes it complicated is money. And so those two things, as a Christian, the truth is the standard. That is the bottom line. Somebody, I won't go on that deal. Maybe another sermon. So they're fighting each other. They're taking each other to court. And then Paul says this in verse 4. Apparently, whoever's running things in Corinth, they need to step down. This is what Paul says. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbeliever. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. Actually, it's crazy, but it's not crazy, because this happens, I don't want to say regularly, but it does happen periodically in churches. And so Paul says, verse 4, it's not a doctrine of what you need to do. Maybe it could be, but it's more like a shot at whoever's running things there. Apparently, you need to get somebody else involved, because whoever's handling the decision-making process, and this is what the church has come to. Now you're filing lawsuits against each other. Now you're fighting each other. Now you're accepting fornication and all this stuff. He says, why don't you take the people who are making decisions, set them aside, and find somebody who's not respected in this congregation and let them make a decision. Let that person make a decision, because apparently this whole thing is flipped on its head and the people who are supposed to be making decisions are completely backwards. So maybe the people you aren't esteeming are a little bit smarter than the people you are. And so he says, if then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, verse 4, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. The whole thing is backwards. So apparently whoever is running the show here, it's just full of foolishness. And Paul's advice is get someone who isn't esteemed, because the people you're esteeming aren't very wise people. They don't know what they're doing. So get somebody who's not esteemed and let them make some decisions. And I mean, it's maybe kind of tongue in cheek, but it's also, it might work. Might be helpful. When he gets to verse 6, brother goeth to law with brother, and that before unbelievers, that really is the problem. The fact that a congregation is left in a society in order to magnify Jesus Christ, in order to bring light to the culture, in order to bring light to the people. And now this thing that was supposed to be light is darkness. And not only that, you're seeking help from what you're saying. You're saying the world is lives in darkness and the world is messed up, and now you're going to the world for advice on how to run the congregation. Like, this is completely flipped on its head. But what really is at the bottom of a lot of this stuff, it's people coming to church with their agenda. They have what they want to get done, and they fail to see the bigger picture at work. There's a much bigger picture than just your agenda, my agenda, and just whatever I want to get out of this. I didn't set this up. You didn't set this up. God set up local churches. God set up the system. God set it up the situation. He puts people in places, and He has a purpose, and it's His purpose that we're supposed to be following, and it's really His purpose that decides how you do business, how you handle things, and what is supposed to go on. And so when you abandon the purpose of God for maybe your own purpose or whatever, now you have, that's carnality, and that comes in, and there are other problems that come in with it. That's what Paul's dealing with Corinthians. So, this is, it's good to remember that. It's good to remember this isn't your church. It's not your church. It's God's church. You didn't bleed for this church. You didn't bleed for God's people. Jesus Christ bled for God's people. And so what you are is a part of something bigger. You're not the end of the thing. And it's like, you know, well, I think you understand it. You understand it. And this is, I hate to be so, I feel like so much of this stuff, it's so negative, but you have to just deal with it when you go through here. Yeah. Remember, you call yourself a Christian. You took His name. He didn't take your name. It's His name. It's not my name. It's not your name. I mean, I get the idea that it's my church in the sense that you want to feel community and you want to feel like it's a part of something. But when it becomes mine and my, it's me and mine, and this is me, and how dare you touch my stuff? Well, now you've gone overboard. It's not your stuff. So this is how some of these things come about. Verse 7, moving on here. He deals with hypocrisy. The judgment's so poor. He says, verse 7, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you. Because you go to law one with another, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. So before we move on, that he's just dealing with hypocrisy. So a hypocrite holds other people to higher standards than they hold themselves to. You understand that. But you find that these people are taking each other to court for things that they do to other people. And it's just incredible. You got to be really, really careful about judgment and things like that, because you find that you do the same things a lot of times that you're getting so mad at other people. And some of you know this, but probably the thing that you get the most mad at someone else for is probably the thing that you've got a problem with. It's probably what you struggle with. It's probably your trouble. Just something to be observant about in your own life. But Paul deals with hypocrisy, holding people to these higher standards that they themselves don't even hold. Says, look, you do the same things. Why don't you take some defrauding? Why don't you accept a little bit of injustice? Maybe it's time to just accept a little bit of injustice. I mean, I think your founder accepted a little bit of injustice, maybe. And so maybe for the benefit of the greater good and for the bigger picture, maybe let's not expose all the trouble and infighting. Maybe let's not take each other to court, Corinthians. Maybe let's not fight this out in the public. So Paul deals with the hypocrisy of it all. Why don't you take the wrong? Why don't you rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong. So that's one way of handling it. Then verses 9 through 11 is one of these questions that's sort of like, duh, don't you get it? He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So Paul's now, this is just so much frustration in Paul's voice. Like, don't you understand? Fornicators, unrighteous, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. It's clear they have no part with God. It's clear. It should be clear to you they have no part with God. Why is this so complicated? Why is this so difficult to understand? Well, because my family's involved, or because there's money involved. Why is this so complicated to understand? So Paul's just like, don't you understand? Know ye not. Know ye not. This is a simple category, a classification. So Paul's frustration and trying to get folks to understand, look, these judgments that I'm asking you to make, these judgments are not difficult judgments. They're not hard to make. I mean, they're not complicated as far as knowing what to do. You understand what to do. You should know what to do. And so then he says, you know, such were some of you. That's good to know that you're saved, and so you're not classified as this anymore. But weren't you saved out of that? Isn't that what you were saved from? So why would that be? Why is it so difficult to understand? If you're saved from this, this is not good. The people who live in this way, that's not good. Don't you? I mean, it's just not complicated. Then verse 12, he says this: all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. He kind of does a little more. Now he's just trying to reason a little bit. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Like I can do what I want to do, but it's not good to just do everything I want to do. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, belly for meats. God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body's not for fornication. Now we're back to fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. So just reasoning here. You understand, because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. And everything has its place and everything has its purpose. Meats for the belly for meats. That's place, that's purpose. That's the point. You get fed with it. It's not a spiritual matter. This is the point of the purpose of this thing. So if you keep things in their places, then you'll know the expedient thing to do by keeping things in their places. Fornication is not for the body. That's not what it's for. That's not what your body was created for. That's out of place, and that brings with it a whole slew of complications. When the thing gets out of place like that. And so he uses that example. Meats for the belly, belly for meats. Verse 13, God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body's not for fornication. So you just dealt with purpose and place. What is the purpose of the meats in the belly? Here's the purpose and the place of it. Now we'll move on to something we've already dealt with in chapter 5, fornication. But the body's not for that. The body's for the Lord. That's what the body's for. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. So, a little bit of reasoning here. Expedience is just what's the good thing to do, what you got. Where's the proper place for these things? Then he goes on, verse 15. Moving on here, verses 15 through 17. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Why would I accept practices in a congregation that God has clearly forbidden? Why would I enjoin you to practices that God has clearly said this is what I'm saving you from? I've saved you from this. So why would I take what's holy to God and then join it back to something that's unholy? I mean, he's saying, literally, Paul has said the same thing in, you know, six different ways now. It's just, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? I'm not going to do it this way. You're not going to do it this way. It's foolish because of this. This is the wise decision to make. What do other people think about this? How are you shaming the name of Jesus Christ? And so he's addressing these things from all these different angles. Verse 16, what know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Kind of goes with what we just said there. That's the point. I'm not going to join you up with something that God has already forbidden. He's already told you these things they're not good. And you need to keep them away from your lives. And when you bring this stuff into the congregation, and then when you're bringing this stuff in, and it's evidence of carnality, and now you're bringing this to the public knowledge. And so what ends up happening is the name of Jesus Christ is ruined, and at least from your life, from the life of the church, that congregation. It just, people don't take it seriously anymore. It's just a place to get together, I guess. So then he says this, verse 17 or 18. Flee fornication. Remember, that's what we were talking about in chapter 5. So he's brought it all back around to this. Flee fornication. Some things, and y'all understand it, but some things you learn by experience. I mean, you go through it and you just learn over time. Marriage, yeah, some things. Fornication and, you know, taking a test drive, stuff like that. You don't learn that by experience. That doesn't help you in life to check things out like that. To be intimate with people and then multiple people, and then through that you gain some knowledge of who you want to marry. That's not how that works. So the advice the Holy Spirit gives is flee fornication. You don't experiment with it. You get away from it. He'll say that about idolatry, flee idolatry, and a lot of times those things just go hand in hand, idolatry and fornication. But it's one of those things that a couple times in the Bible he says, just flee, just get away from it. You get the idea. Don't bring it in. Don't try it out. That's not how this works. This doesn't work that way. The marriage bed doesn't work that way. You're not going to learn who you should marry or who you should be partners with by sleeping around. That's not how this works. And so Paul says, flee fornication. The Holy Spirit says, flee fornication, which is the subject before this chapter. Why? Why would he say that? Verse 18, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We love that phrase. I think we love that phrase. We are bought with a price. We love that, you know. Purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We love knowing that sins are forgiven and that God has taken away my sin. He's washed me in the blood of Jesus Christ. But that verse is not talking about forgiveness. The verse is talking about ownership. Ye are bought with a price. I mean, we love the idea. I'm washed in the blood. You know, Jesus purchased me with his blood. It's loving and caring. And that's great when I apply it to forgiveness, because I want forgiveness. What I don't want is ownership. I don't want him to own my life, though. I want to be forgiven, but I don't want the price he paid to constitute ownership of my life. And that's what Paul's talking about. You're bought with a price. Oh, good, I'm forgiven. Well, yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're bought with a price. Therefore, God owns the body. It's his now. He paid for it. And he created it, and now he's paid for it too. He's purchased it. You know, This idea that it's unfamiliar in the Bible. It seems it's unfamiliar for sure what we're reading, but it's unfamiliar that I'm going to love God in my heart, but not with my body. The point of this is what you're doing, your behavior, Corinthians, what you're doing is the problem. What you're doing. Not what you say is in your heart. Not what you say you prayed about whenever. The problem is what you're doing and how you're conducting business with your body. The things you're doing as behaviors. The way you're treating other people. The way you're treating each other. The way your relationships are just messed up. And then you congratulate each other with these messed up relationships. And so the point of these verses, when Paul says this, look, I'm not going to join something holy to a harlot. I'm not going to do that. I'm trying to keep you guys separated from things you were saved from. I'm trying to keep you away from the things you say you're saved from. Don't you understand? You got to flee fornication. You can't bring this stuff together. That's just not how this works. And then he says, verse 19, I'll read it one more time with that understanding. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. That's what he's talking about. Not thank God I'm forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, although that's true. If you're forgiven, what he's talking about is you're not your own. You voluntarily came to Jesus Christ. You voluntarily attend a congregation. And voluntarily you do this. You didn't build it. You didn't create it. You participate in it. And you participate in something that God created. Not only did God create it, then he purchased the people to be participants in it. And he didn't just purchase people with money. He bought people with his own blood. And for someone to come in and say, well, it's my stuff and it's my stuff. It's like, this is crazy that you would think that. God's work will go on long after you're gone. It will go on long after I'm gone. It continues on, and we didn't start it. What, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith? I mean, probably there's something to that. But you don't get to say, well, God knows my heart, therefore I can just act however I want to. It doesn't matter what's in your heart. And I say that, I understand what I'm saying. What matters here is if these Corinthians are living this way, taking each other to court, fighting each other, living in these dysfunctional, terrible relationships, having these personality cults, well, I'm of this guy, and I'm of this guy, and I'm of this guy. And this is how you're behaving. And at the end of the day, you say, well, but I love God in my heart. Do you know what that amounts to? Not a whole lot. It just doesn't matter. The problem is God paid for your body. Therefore, glorify God. How does he say it? Glorify God in your body. Very, very end of verse 20. And in your spirit. Okay, so you love God in your heart. That's good. Love God in your body. Why? You're participating in something that's not yours. It's God owns it. He provided the blueprints for it. It's his ministry. It's his work. And we can be thankful that we can be a part of it. But you don't get to participate in it with your own rules. Because you didn't create it. I mean, I think you get the idea. So, verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Praise the Lord, I'm forgiven. I'm bought with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from all sin. I'm forgiven. Well, wait a minute, that's not what we're talking about. You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Because it's his purchase. He paid for it. And he's going to raise it up one day. If you're saved, he's going to raise it up one day. He's going to bring it back from the dead. He will give you an incorruptible body if you're saved. And so it's his purchase. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, by the way, which are both God's. So this chapter, it kind of moves through the very poor judgment of the Corinthians. He brings it back around to fornication, which he'd been dealing with already. But the idea of people who had been given the judgments of God and been given a light from the words of God and discernment and things like that. And now this is what they've done with it. They have totally botched the whole thing. They don't know how to apply it. They don't know how to apply it with each other. They don't know how to apply it in the world. So now they're just fighting about things that are really not, they're not important things. And Paul deals with their poor judgment. He deals with whoever's in charge. Probably needs to step down. And you need to get somebody that can make some decisions that's not somebody who you esteem, because apparently who you esteem is not, that's not a real wise person or people. He deals with hypocrisy and the nature of really carnality. It's like I'm the top dog, and I'm gonna hold people to a higher standard than me, and we're gonna fight about this. And it's like, look, you take the wrong. I'll say sometimes what you perceive as someone wronging you is not really someone wronging you. It's how you see the situation at the time. So if you back off a little bit, you might find out what the real truth is in that situation. Maybe it is wrong. Maybe it truly is wrong. But the point is, for the sake of the bigger ministry, for the sake of God's ministry, for the sake of the testimony of Jesus Christ in public view, maybe you just have to take some things. I mean, look, don't you take some wrong for a paycheck? I mean, sometimes, you know, the boss, he in your estimation, did something bad. Because you're not the boss, so you don't know why he's making the decisions or she's making the decisions. But of course, the boss is always making wrong decisions. But you still go to work. You know why you go to work? Because you value a paycheck. That's why you go to work. Do you value the things of Jesus Christ? Okay, well, maybe it's time to take something that didn't quite go your way. These guys are just fighting it out. Paul's so frustrated. Know ye not, don't you know? Verse 2, don't you know? Verse 3, know ye not? Verse 9, know ye not? Verse 15, know ye not? Verse 16, know ye not? Verse 19, know ye not? It's like, don't you know? Don't you understand? I know you want the big prophecy and you want all the Antichrist and all that kind of stuff, but this is reality here. This is the way the church is functioning, at least in Corinth. This is what's happening. It's very applicable. This is what carnality looks like. And Paul's from hundreds of miles away or however far away trying to deal with it. You understand, because you can do something doesn't mean you should be doing it. You know, don't you understand that Jesus Christ purchased you? He bought you, and you participate in something that He created. It's not your creation. It's not your, you don't own it. You participate in it, and be glad to participate in it. Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, it will get a little bit better at the end. But right now, Paul's like trying to deal with all and undo all of these problems, all of these messes people are creating because they're carnal, because they're selfish, because they forget the big picture. They forget what they're there for. They forget what they're doing. And it just becomes, this church becomes just an organization and just a gathering of people. And, you know, it's country club or whatever. It's just a place where people meet and hang out. And then sometimes fights are going on. And Paul's like, it's not the way it should be. This is God's work. It's God's work. So 1 Corinthians 6, there you go. Some poor judgment that Paul has to deal with from afar. And again, just sense his frustration dealing with it from far away, trying to write and encourage and help and like reason with people about what they're doing. I got to fix this stuff. You got to take care of this stuff. So, all right, let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. If nothing else, to learn what you're saying. What are you talking about in these books and these letters? What are you dealing with and what are you not dealing with? And I pray it's been instructional. It's very practical stuff. But your words are that way. They're light for our path and just illumination to direct to steps. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you again for this time together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.